Morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Friday, March the 5th, 2021. Now, we had some beautiful weather yesterday, 70 degrees here in Kansas City. I have Professor Paul and I have Professor Joe on with me. Now, Paul's got 50 inches of snow up where he's at, Minneapolis. We were under a deep freeze here in Kansas City last week, freezing everything, just like Texas and Florida. Now, Paul calls me up today talking about how he did a satellite thing and looked at so on and so forth. I want you to explain it because I want you to explain the reason they're doing it. I believe and you believe and Joe believes. But go ahead. I'll let you pick it up first, Paul, and tell the people what you told me this morning. Satellite imaging and so forth, what you saw about Florida, please.
I live in what they've now rebranded the Bold North, and the Bold North would include Minnesota, or specifically the Twin Cities. And I was moving snow yesterday to get a tennis court clean so that we could hit tennis balls in 50-degree weather, which is what we're going to have today and through, you know, the next 7 days, I guess. But they've really changed the jet stream, and I believe in March we're going to get a bunch of storms that actually may miss me, but may hit you and people that really they live in dwellings or in cities that aren't prepared for the type of weather that they're manufacturing. We all know what happened to Texas, and that was clearly weather warfare. But I looked at Florida yesterday, and Joel has a pretty good grip and explained quite well how they heat up the ionosphere, and then what they do with the ionosphere is they steer weather, and they can make things go counterclockwise or clockwise and counterclockwise. And essentially what happened to Florida over the last 36 hours is they were subject to severe weather warfare. Now, in Florida, you can't generate the snow like you can where in Texas, where you've got a bunch of land. Florida obviously is surrounded on three sides by water, but they can do weather warfare there and create all sorts of havoc. And the two things we know is Texas and Florida are not going along with the New World Order agenda. But my question to you guys is, they were going to do it anyway. I mean, whether we are nice and go along, or whether we aren't nice and we don't go along, they have plans for us, and their plans are genocide, depopulation, and their New World Order. So I ask you guys, what's going on?
Let's point to the two states that you're talking about. Florida, DeSantis? One of the ones DeSantis. The new governor, good guy, was one of the ones that drilled the hell out of Strzok and them, and you could see the difference in the Congress and Senate on the House Judiciary and Oversight Committee, both the one members, lots of them. As those hearings went on, and about the dossier Hillary created, never got punished, and Strzok was involved, the FBI and all that. Good guy, Florida governor. He withdrew from the union. They're trying to secede from the union, make a simple withdrawal, but they're trying to secede in Texas. They put the bill up there to do it. What's happened to both states? It's almost like they're intentionally being destroyed. And I believe that they are. And I think we're going to see more of it because, like, you're in 50 inches of snow, Paul, 40-degree weather yesterday, and I got 70 here in Kansas City, and before that we were in a deep freeze. All of a sudden it jumped up out of deep freeze into almost 40 degrees overnight. The weather, they modify it. Now, you can see it, folks. It's part of HAARP. You can see it come a high aurora something project. And you help me out on this, Joe, but it's up in Alaska, and then they had got towers in different parts of the United States and so forth. What they do is you can see it on the weather map, how they're modifying the weather. It's the key is the jet stream. It comes down off the HAARP along the California coast and suddenly does a left hook or whatever you want to call it, cuts across Arizona, hits Texas, then all of a sudden it shoots straight up in the Midwest, over Nebraska, South Dakota, so forth, and cause havoc all the way from the south coast to the northern border of the United States and farther north. And that's what they're able to do. And I mean, it's like hurricanes. Some of these are man-made harp hurricanes, folks. And they do turn counterclockwise in these massive ones. And you'll see them. Bam! Whole towns being wiped out. Now, when they started this stuff in 2006, when they moved the jet stream, Super Spook Otis Johnson, I called him up and said, "What the fuck are they doing? Did they do something supernatural?" He goes, "You got that right." Because they drugged the jet stream in April of 2006 when I reported on my site. They drug it clear to the south, right down to the coast of Texas. And it was supposed to be hanging around over U-Paul and maybe a little bit south, maybe on the northern part of Iowa during that April time frame, sometimes even northern Missouri. But you're not going to get it dipping clear to the coast. They did a lot of damage. They left it sit there for 2 days. He said they don't want to be obvious about it, so they'll move it back up within a couple of days. But it did about $2.5 billion of the damage to trees and bushes and all kinds of stuff in 2006. So I'm aware of things. Now, Paul, would you explain what's going on?
Well, I mean, I think
not Paul, but Joe.
You know, HARP is an important facility, but they've got HARPs everywhere, it appears. They've got installations everywhere where effectively, by controlling the jet stream, by using natural forces, nature, then what they're doing is manipulating what nature does. And my prediction, of course, is conjecture. And I think they've simulated a bunch of plans. And Joel has wisely pointed out to look to July for the cyber attacks. And then we've got the vaccines that, of course, if they don't kill you, they'll probably turn you into a zombie. And it's just really hard for me to really develop a coherent narrative. So I'm going to ask Joel to step in and help me out, please.
Okay, let's start with my father-in-law, who has since passed away. During the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, he was one of the 10 top engineers in the world. And one of the things that he did was to create an array of antennas called Salisbury Circus. And when we invaded France, all of the Germans' communication was jammed. And it was done through Salisbury Circus. All right, those array of antennas, there's at least 12 of them that I know. And what they do, the one that everybody is familiar with, even back in the 90s, was HARP. And it's a 1 mile square of antennas. And what it does, it heats up the ionosphere. That hot air manipulates the jet airstream. And they push it in the direction that they want to go. If they want to bring cold, wet weather, well, then they push one end up around near the Arctic Circle and then bring it down to the middle part of the United States. So all it is heating up the ionosphere by what we call an array of antennas called HARP. It's heating the ionosphere. What they do is they create political, economic manipulation. And to this day, most weather channels will not track for you the jet airstream. They'll track high pressure systems, low pressure systems, but they will not show you the jet airstream.
They do on our channel, Joe, on the weather channel even. You can see it. You can see it through where it pulls down. And they're actually showing it on the weather channel.
Most weather channels will not post on. They'll post high pressure systems, low pressure systems, and air flow. But as for taking like a line and putting it across your TV, because the jet stream is like about 200 miles across, something like that. And it flows at about 200 miles an hour. So what they do is they manipulate that. And they create conditions to accomplish economic, political things. And so, consequently, like Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Harvey. You don't have a hurricane in Hurricane Harvey where it goes inland at Houston, back out about 50 miles, and then come back in. That is a manipulated weather thing. Weather wars, and the guy that first pointed this out was the guy that wrote Behold the Pale Horse, Bill Cooper.
And I talked to him a few times.
Right in there. Aaron, get the book. Everybody should have the book. Behold the Pale Horse by William Cooper.
By the way, he's got, I think in that book, he's got the document that shows the U.S. government Army Intelligence Laboratory developed AIDS back in, what was it, 69, Joe?
Yep. They sure as heck did.
Yeah, I think he put it in his book.
Dr. Horowitz, Stu, is the guy that blew the whistle on it, you know, regardless of what we think of him now. He's the guy that found out that Dr. Gallo and his team developed AIDS.
Look, Lynn Horowitz was once a friend of mine. I still consider him to be. I haven't talked to him in a long time because that Sherry, whatever her name was, Mossad agent that he hooked up with. But I remember him with his first wife, and he was all right then. Now, Lynn helped me, along with Michael Rupert, who I don't even know if he's alive. The three of us found out that that doctor that they blamed on anthrax, that he was charged with, and all the other, I forgot his name, this is quite a ways back, was innocent. So we did an article together, all three of us, and it caused friggin' chaos on all of our heads. But go ahead.
Well, guys, we've covered weather warfare, and I'm going to bring up something that I don't have a primary source. I can only tell you that I got the information from a source, Steve Quayle, and he suggested that his information is, over the years, every world leader of prominence has met Lucifer and bowed down and said, I will serve you. I know that some of that's going to sound out there. To me, it sounds plausible.
Can I add to that for a second, Paul? Super Spook Otis Johnson, believe me, William Case's assistant, NSA, worked for General Flynn. I even put him on a tarmac at an airport in Grand Island, Nebraska. And General Flynn pops out and salutes him. Of course, I drove off in his Cadillac. He told me these 200,000 aliens, I said, if they are inhabiting humans like you're saying, and they're registered with the NSA, 200,000 of them, these so-called aliens, which are fallen angels, then what you're telling me is that every world leader is possessed. He goes, no, Stu, they aren't. He says, Donald Trump isn't. He says, many aren't, but their aides are. Their immediate aides are. That's how they've got them, Paul.
You know, when I used to look at Jared Kushner, I thought, man, that guy is not right, and who knows what occupies him. I want to ask a question or make a point, maybe. If they were cloning and aliens or demons or fallen ones were entering human clones back in Hope, Arkansas, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it seems to me that they would not cease operations, but in fact, 200,000 now could be millions, if not 10 millions. And so
here's about the cloning. If I may also on this, because I do know what I'm talking about. They have cloned 10 million, according to the NSA, and according to what Otis told me. He says there are 200,000 possessed, registered with the NSA, and they've cloned 10 million out of Hope, Arkansas. That the aliens, the fallen angels, don't want to possess a cloned person. They want to possess a real person. A clone has no conscience and no soul. They're cloning these things down there. Now, what he told me for his death about 3 years ago, he said, Stu, he says, you know so-and-so? I said, yeah. And I mean, this guy was connected, okay? He had a pool and a party up in Nebraska, and I was working on a house. He got me down the street, a whole remodel, and they had a party down there, and a few spooks were down there. I met in person. We had long talks. Now, they believe, as Otis said, my friends and I believe that there's 20 to 30 million cloned that are not registered total, between 20 and 30 million. But they have registered 10 million with the U.S. government. It's part of the alien agreement, 52 to 2012 extended. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, maybe you can split a hair here for me, because my hermeneutics, my interpretation of how things work, how the world really works versus how we create these illusions. And what concerned me about Quayle's report was he was talking as if China had treaties with the aliens, Russia had treaties with the aliens.
They do.
The USA had treaties with the aliens. And at least in my mind's eye, that's not how the world really works. The shadow government worldwide is connected. Everything is manufactured for show. It's like there's a duopoly in Washington, D.C., and yet people ever since I've been alive, I've been alive 63 years, but for 48 years, I've been pointing out to people it's a duopoly. In other words, it's all fake. It's all theater. The left-right paradigm is all phony. And so I'm not saying that world leaders aren't aware of Lucifer and that they haven't sworn allegiance, but it just seems to me curious that you would have nations having treaties with the fallen ones instead of admitting that we've got the shadow government is worldwide, and forces like chaos and any force that you can think of is part of the interdimensional realm that we can't see, and that's what we're up against. Over to you guys to respond to my possibly my thinking, but at least that's my hermeneutics. That's my interpretation of how things likely work versus how they're presented to us.
Joe, you want to pick it up?
Well, it's just what I've said before. A basic outline of the conspirators was presented by Preston James. And it first starts out, now, whether there's a Lucifer or Lucifer is one of the fallen angels, the Book of Enoch makes it very clear who the leaders are of the fallen angels. And you do not see the word Lucifer. So that doesn't mean that there isn't a fallen angel called Lucifer, but Simjasi and some Azazel are some of the names of the leaders of the fallen angels. And in the Book of Enoch, in the Book of the Origin of Evil, it's outlined in the Book of Enoch who did what. And what they taught mankind. Now that's supposed to be taken in a general tone. So when you are asking for specifics, the best outline that I've seen of the conspirators was presented by Preston James. And it just simply goes like this: the fallen angel aliens, then the Khazarians, mafia, then the dark Illuminati, which are your Gentiles, that are controlled by the Khazarian Mafia. And then in between those two groups are the Greys from the Beltagese, then the Insectoid. And that gives you then a outline, generally speaking, of who the conspirators are. And it's not something that is new. It goes back hundreds of thousands of years. Back to the time when the angels fell, and you had the big war in the Alpha Centauri region of the universe, and you can find that in apocryphal books. So there you have it.
Could you just briefly talk about Enoch, and if you're willing to, Jubilees and Jasher too. And when were they written?
Okay, let's cut it short here. Elizabeth Clare Prophet is the best book to get because it's a combination of apocryphal books, including the Book of Enoch. The first Book of Enoch was found in Ethiopia by an Englishman, and it took many years before it was translated. From that time on, before that time, no one knew of the Book of Enoch. No one knew about it. But then it was translated, and then it made its way out into the academic world. So the Book of Enoch is best understood if you get Elizabeth Clare Prophet. I'm not pushing her organization. It's called The Origin of Evil. And they name in the Book of Enoch, and there's, by the way, later on they found at Qumran, they found a Book of Enoch. And then in, let's see, I think it was not Syriac, or in the area of Syria, they found another codex called the Book of Enoch. So the Book of Enoch is something that scholars will say was highly read at the time of Jesus, but then it disappeared off the scene.
The Book of Enoch, by the way, I can't remember where in the Bible it's mentioned. That in the Book of Jasper, Enoch and Jasper. But they're not in there, the New
Testament. What Stu was talking about there is the Book of Jasper. And those are what we call apocryphal books. They are books that were not canonized. They at the time of the Nicene Council, they had to decide what books are we going to accept. And that's another big subject, but it's not worth, we don't have the time to get into it. But what Paul is asking about, where did the Book of Enoch come from? And it was first found by an Englishman explorer in Ethiopia, and he was the first to translate it, but it took many years for it to get out into the public.
I've read the R.C. Charles translation. I think it's pretty good. I don't endorse that per se either, and I just want, I know we're up against the time limit, but I just want to talk about Preston James for a minute.
Can I hold on before you get into Preston? The Book of Enoch, now the Clare Prophet, for clarification, listeners, if I'm correct, Joel, the Clare Prophet Book of Jasper, I mean Book of Enoch, talks about why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Remember, he told him, I think it was, her name was Sarah, not to look back. God turned her to a pillar of stone. A sulfur fire rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Now,
that would be Lot's wife.
Yes. Now, in the Book of Enoch, in Clare Prophets, because I believe that's the one we read out of at a Bible study we had in Vegas when I lived out there, it says that they were doing cloning. Is that true, Joel?
No.
One of the books of Enoch, though, it was talking about cloning.
Let's back it up. Let's go back to the simple translation. In Genesis, I think it's Genesis 26:13, something like that. I can't remember. The sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and lusted.
Genesis 26.
And created men of renown and giants. And when a giant dies, this is commentary on that, they become demons in the other world.
Bingo.
So there are things. Now remember, Ed Slade got it right. The King James Version of the Bible is really the best Bible, or the Old Geneva, if you want to call it that, because in it is pages and pages and pages of the Zohar. But we have the patriots out there that are consistently condemning the Zohar, and they attribute it to Yochanan. Well, Ed Slade cleared that up. He said, no, that's not correct. Adam wrote the book called the Zohar. And that's an important statement made by Ed Slade.
Now, you said something about demons. I was on a mountain in Colorado. I think you heard the story, Joe. And a super spook's telling me about where they're doing these human sacrifices. He didn't come out and tell me. But we had talked about it, and I was insinuating, trying to get it out of him. It's only him and me walking this mountain range, or walking this mountain path he had up there with his buddies, his friend's place. And I said, well, where are they doing it? Downtown Denver. He says, I can't tell you, Stu. I said, why not? He says, because they hear us. I said, nobody hears us. We don't have any communication. There's nothing up here. They can't hear us. He says, no, you don't understand. He says, they're all around us. I said, what? And I thought for a minute. I said, you talking about demons? He says, yeah, they run back in tattletale. They run back in tattletale.
That's astonishing stuff, and I'm not saying
you have ones. You have them standing around you.
You just don't see them.
Stu does.
You just don't see them, and they're there to cause you harm if they can do it. If you don't have Christ, if you do, you're still going to suffer it for Him and for mankind.
Now remember, the word Lucifer, in my understanding, because it really was talking about the king of Tyre, but then it morphed itself into something that was useful, because there is only two times in the Old Testament that the word devil is used. And, well, what is the origin of where did all this evil come from? Where did the devil come from? Well, number one, it actually morphed out of a word called Satan. And the translators, in my understanding, made it into a singular noun. They should have kept it as a plural noun, because when you translate it back into English, the best word is Satans, because it talks about the adversaries. And then you connect that up to the fallen angel aliens. This is the importance of the Ed Slade Stu Webb interview, because Stu was adamant in his questioning of Ed Slade. And he asked twice, actually three times, are these aliens the fallen angels? And he said, yes, they are. Yeah. That solved the whole problem of the origin of evil and the Book of Enoch.
Now, Ed Slade was a U.S. scientist.
The problem is, Stu,
yeah,
that people cannot accept that these fallen angel aliens are the reptilians and the Draco. They refuse to accept that. The Draco is kind of like a creamy white and has wings. Those were the archangels. And like I said, way back in 2013, I Googled the appearance of the fallen angel, and it came back and it said, the fallen angel takes a serpentine look. And a month later, I tried to Google again. It didn't come back. That tells you something. The enemy does not want you to know who they are.
That's very true. Now, for the clarification and edification of the listeners, if you haven't listened to Ed Slade tape, it is up there. Just punch it in the radio bar. I mean, in the search engine on my site. But Ed was a U.S. scientist. A United States scientist who was credited for the moon landing. And he said they didn't use my rocket technology. They used alien technology. So he made sure he was on the ship, because he was in headquarters down there at Kennedy Space Center when they put it on the moon. Nothing blew up off the moon. So he made sure he was on the ship when they picked up the capsule out of the ocean. And he examined it. He said they used alien technology. He was an alien scientist, folks. He worked at Papoose Lake, Nevada. It is northwest of Groom Lake, they call it, our test site. Now, he worked at Papoose Lake, Nevada. He made toys with the aliens for the government, supposedly. But he answered to Meyer Rothschild. And he got murdered over bonds he had bought over the years and tucked away as a scientist that they sold him. And I checked the bonds out, and two of them were worth about $1 trillion that he had bought clear back in the 50s. They murdered him over that because he decided he was going to go collect the money. He was tired of being broke. With that said, any last words, gentlemen? I got an appointment, and we got to put this to rest for the day.
Yeah, real quickly, Joel, go ahead, Paul. Few scriptures, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, if you want to go there. And then regarding Preston James, I just wanted to point out that the best stuff I've read from Preston James comes from State of the Nation. I'm not endorsing the site. I'm not saying it's a source of truth. I'm saying it's likely a lot of partial truth. But the series on the Khazarians and their relationship to the fallen ones, that's a incredible expose that he wrote. I've read it several times, probably 5 times, but that's where you might find a really good edition of President James's Khazarian Mafia and the Connections. So that's anyway, we're done. So cool, guys.
Any last word, Joel? Joel, any last word?
No.
Okay. Paul, you want to end it in prayer?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for another morning. We know that we live in difficult, troubled, and surreal times. We know tomorrow is 666. And we know that they love their gematria. And we know that the Pope is, his ritual and Antifa is supposedly, the chatter is going to create chaos nationwide. Please put it in our hearts and minds to know your will for how we respond, not only today and tomorrow, but in the days to come, through your spirit and through your knowledge. In Jesus' name, in the blood of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Professor Paul. Thank you, Professor Joel. You two have a good day.